friends, as the first speaker pointed out, the subject of our lecture today is Can There Be Miracles? When we say something like miracle, or in vernacular language we use the term chamatkar, the understanding is that it is beyond your rational understanding, and it is also somehow beyond explaining it in terms of any of the physical laws or laws of physics or chemistry or biology that we understand. All in all, it looks like these are the happenings or phenomena which are therefore done by some supernatural power or supernatural force. No wonder then, mostly we attribute these miraculous happenings with people who are so-called, some of them, in the spiritual realm, right from top to bottom. Our times we talk about Swamis and Babas. They perform miracles. But we also know that in the olden times we had Jesus, we had yogis, we had Buddha, we had saintly people. And in everyone's life you do find some miraculous things happening. So then, what is it? Were they really breaking the laws of nature, going against it, and then performing something in order that people should be overwhelmed, fall at their feet, worship them? Or what is really it? Now, to understand that, let's really start with a story coming from H.G. Wells, a sort of science fiction writer. Coming from him, we get the understanding that not all of them, they regard this miraculous happening either brush aside as fraud or try and explain it as something supernatural. So here is a story where you have a person called George Fotheringay. And he's just a simple clerk in the office. It is in the West. And he's meeting his friends in a bar at the end of the day. And as usual, they are discussing something, and they discuss very often miracles. And this person says, "You see, I don't believe in miracles." He tries to explain to people what his understanding of miracle is. So there are supposed to be, in those days, there must be oil lamps must be there, just like you have diyas, where you put oil and light up. Like that, oil lamps were there on the walls. And he says, "Now look, you require willpower. And these are oil lamps which are fixed to the walls. If I can, by my willpower, turn them upside down and still they burn without oil falling, that is miracle." And then he says, "Look, now I'll try." And then he actually gives a command for the oil lamp to turn. And it happens. The oil lamp is turned upside down. Nothing falls. It starts burning. It continues to burn. So he's able to keep it for 3 minutes. And then he says, "I can't keep it in that position anymore." So once again, it regains its position. And then we are given series of things. As he goes home, he keeps giving commands. Let the door open, let the window shut, let the curtains open, and what not. Finally, he falls asleep and says, "I must have sound sleep," and he has. Next day, he is going to the office. We are cutting it short because time will not permit. He is going to the office, and there is a big piece of wood. And he says, "Let it turn into walking stick." It does. And instead of saying that, "Let it get back its original shape," he says, "Go back." So God knows what, but the stick starts walking back with speed. It dashes against a police officer, and he's very wild with this guy. And he's very angry. So this guy also says, "Go to hell." And Christians, they believe hell is what? Where there is a fire and smoke. So he's surrounded by fire and smoke. Anything that you can imagine is happening. It just has to come out of his mouth and it happens. So then, of course, he gets the situation under control. And then he decides that, "Let me go to the church and ask the church father as to what is all this. Are there miracles?" And once the church service is over, the father invites him home. And then he goes there and performs some more miracles, turning the flower pot into a bowl filled with water in which there are fishes, which is again turned into a blue pigeon and whatnot. changes actually the whole temperament of the servant, who is supposed to be very, very arrogant, and he is made very humble. But at the end, church father tells him that, look, yes, there is miracle. It's only that, and that's a very nice way that H.G. Wells is putting the whole idea, that it is not happening to according to the natural laws that we are aware, but there are more profound laws. There are deeper laws at work, is what I will say, and probably he's at the time where H.P. Blavatsky, the founder of the Theosophical movement and Theosophical society, was also there. And therefore he mentions, actually author is putting words in the mouth of the church father, who says, I have seen the yogis and rishis, and I've heard about Madame Blavatsky also performing phenomena. So this is what I would say, that it is happening according to the laws which are more profound than what we know. This is an excellent thing coming from H.G. Wells. So then what happens? This person is now interested that Fodringay should go with him and then start doing good works. In the night they walk and they see on the footpath there are drunkards, and he changes them by command into sober people, and then he is getting food and feeds poor people. And most of the people who are criminal, they are also changed and they become better. And they feel that one night is not sufficient, there are many more to be covered. So he says, can you do something so that the night can be prolonged almost indefinitely? There will not be a day. He says, yes, let me try. So there is only one way to do that, and that is stop the rotation of the earth. He says, stop. And the earth abruptly stops. Can you imagine having a car which is going at full speed and someone puts a brake just like that? We know what would happen. Everything will be tossed in the air and things will be topsy-turvy. Exactly that happens on the earth. So the trees fall down, people are crushed, men all have died except Fodringay, who remains. And then he is very sad about the whole thing. And therefore he says to God, take away this power and restore back the original position. This is a command which is also obeyed. And he finds himself once again in the same club or the bar saying the same thing. I don't believe in miracles. That is where the story ends. Very good, as far as it goes. So here then, what would Theosophy say about it? Very correctly, as you can see in your first quotation, HPB has to say, there is no miracle. Everything that happens is a result of law, eternal, immutable, ever active. Apparent miracle is but the operation of forces antagonistic to the well ascertained laws of nature. There may be laws once known but now unknown to science. This says everything. As H.G. Wells says, there are more profound laws. So yes, there is no miracle. That is, there is nothing which is happening which goes against the natural laws, and something is done. So it is happening according to law. But the law under which it happens is not known to science. This is unfortunately what happened. At that time, HPB, first thing that she started was, HPB is H.P. Blavatsky, and she was performing lots of what we call as miraculous things, which we call phenomena. She would disappear, in the sense people won't be able to see her. She would be able to read the thoughts of people and many more things. Was she really trying to overwhelm people? No. Her idea was that science knows only one realm, and that is physical, material part. But there is something more. There is something more to man and nature, which is invisible, which we call as occult, which we do not know, which science doesn't know. Maybe when I perform phenomena, they will be, as it were, enthused to explore and find out what is behind the visible nature and visible man. But that did not happen. Most scientists brushed aside the phenomena, saying it's a fraud. Those who are religious people will say, oh, these are great people, and start bowing down and worshipping them. But what Theosophy says is that let's keep in mind that there is a visible man, but there is also astral man. Perhaps we have heard about astral traveling and things like that. What is this astral? It's a substance which is electromagnetic in nature. And within the physical body, there is an actual duplicate astral body, a model body on which our physical is built. Kirlian photography has shown that there is an astral form. It has been able to photograph that astral body. The same way in nature, there is an astral light, a kind of a universal canvas. You can say it's a kind of a huge CCTV camera which is all the time clicking. All that is happening on the earth, what you speak, what you think, what you do, everything gets impressed and registered. So, if we have to understand clairvoyance, someone sitting here able to see something happening in America, how does he do it? With his astral eye, he looks in the astral light, the picture of what is happening in the American continent, and we feel fascinated. How does he know sitting here this is happening there? Similarly, all that happened in my past life is there in the astral light. And anyone who has his astral senses developed can see in the astral and tell you this happened in your past when you were 10 years old, you were about to get drowned and whatever. So this is nothing which is outside of the scientific realm. This is rather a greater science. That's why we are told in 10 items that besides the physical laws, the material things and the material nature, you need to know that there are occult laws of occult physics, occult chemistry, occult physiology, occult biology, and also you need to know the intimate connection and the deeper aspect of electricity and magnetism. But above all, you need to have what is known as the perfectly cultivated power of will. Willpower. We will see as we proceed. So this is at the back. Now, supposing we take a few examples to understand, because this is all there theoretically. And Madame Blavatsky has made application so that we can appreciate how by knowing and having, first of all, the deeper understanding of man and nature, and also deeper understanding of these laws which are apart from the laws known to science, we can have answers to these miraculous phenomena. For instance, we have all heard that supposing in those days, you hear about the yogis lifting themselves up in the air like a bird. In fact, HPB writes at one place about the Buddhist pagodas. They are very tall. And then you have places where they have put these oil lamps. They are several feet high. Probably you can't even think on those days of constructing a ladder which will reach there. So what will the lamas do? What will these priests do? They would lift their body in the air and then actually light as if they are flying from one to the other portion and they will light the oil lamps. What is this, miracle? Yes, for us it is miracle because we don't know. So HPB then explains that we know only one law and that is the law of gravitation, the law of attraction. But now we try and understand how this happens. Our Earth is a positively charged magnet and every object as well as our bodies are negatively charged. So naturally, we are remaining attracted to the Earth. And we all know that unlike poles, they attract. And the like poles will repel. So all I need to do, if I can, is to change the polarity of my body. I am negatively charged, but if I really want to really repel and move higher, I change the polarity and make it a positive polarity. And the like poles will repel. This is exactly what is done by all these which we said, whether it is Lama, the Buddhist priest, the yogis, and all the others, who you see rising up like a bird in the air, are doing exactly that. They are changing the polarity of the body. Because, as we said, within physical body is the astral body, which is electromagnetic in nature. It's a body with polarity. And all that they do is either by incantation or certain mantrams, or by the use of elementals, or by the power of will. They first decide that I will rise 10 meters high, and accordingly, they will apply that power of will and raise the body 10 meters high or whatever altitude they want. This is the idea. So HPP says that the law of gravitation is half the law. The other half is the law of levitation. Now, all that explanation is a scientific explanation only. The science of today, if it doesn't believe in the astral, then it will have to reject it. It doesn't believe in the astral body in man, it will have to reject it. But the occult science, in fact, if you see the word science, it comes from sire, to know. So science actually means the full knowledge, of which science has only a limited knowledge concerning the physical realm, and not the full knowledge which would be physical, psychic and spiritual. Once it has explanation for every happening. Take the other instance, as we were just talking about, the perfected human will. Let's go into it before we explain some more phenomena. What is this power of will? We ordinarily know that the Hermetic saying says, behind will, will stands desire. Theosophically, will is the force of spirit in action. What is spirit? The Atma in man. Now, if you say there is nothing divine in man, the story is complete. You don't have to go further. If we don't believe the presence of God, which we know as Atma, then there is nothing more to explain. But if we say that every being has the light of Atma, as Sri Krishna says in the Gita, I am the ego seated in the hearts of all beings, and if we do believe that there is Atma, some spiritual potency, then the power of that spirit within man, that is what we know. It's the power flowing from that spirit is what we know as the power of will. It's a force of spirit in action. Now that will power, it is available to us. And how does it become available? We say, behind will stands desire. So at a simple level, we use it and we don't know it. You see, we see people with great determination. And he thinks that with my determination, whatever he means by that, I've achieved this, I've achieved that. But what is it? Behind that determination is a very strong desire. So what you call as a willpower is at our level to achieve maybe a certain position or certain knowledge, certain degree, certain amount of money, name and fame, the hard work and the perseverance which is there, it is all happening because the person has a very intense desire. And because of the intense desire, what he does is that the spiritual power he brings for the fulfilling of a worldly kind of a desire. So it becomes personal will. And we don't realize that that which is what we are calling as the power of our Atma can do tremendous things. Why should Jesus say, if you ask this mountain to be removed and be cast into the sea, it will happen? Can any of us really think of doing it? I say, Himalayas, that you be removed from here and be cast into some ocean, will it happen? I would say never. It cannot happen. But Jesus says it can happen because it is the power which is flowing from your Atma. And if you can really invoke, you will be able to do this tremendous thing. And as compared to that, what is this? This is really trifling to become a millionaire and a billionaire or to get some position or power and name. It is nothing. So we are getting a very great spiritual power on our plane by our very intense desire and using it for the fulfilling of the material needs and desires. But that which is the spiritual will is not available to us because it is not a simple thing like, I want to do it, it is my intense desire. No. That spiritual will can come into operation only for spiritual people. Why? Spiritual people have not become spiritual just like that. What have they done? They are having faith in the law of karma. That whatever the law of karma brings to me, pain, adversity, problems, it is because of my own past karma. So there is no complaining, there is no running to this god or goddess. There is no ceremony performed, no astrologer consulted, but all that comes to me, I go through it. And then I am able to therefore build the link with my spiritual nature so that spiritual power is available to me. And that is the spiritual will. And with that spiritual will, you can do wonderful things. And that is where we come to some of the things which were done by Jesus. We've all heard about Jesus. We say that Jesus used to heal the sick people, he used to make blind people see, he used to make lame people walk. He used to also raise the dead people. Now this is really miraculous. What else can you say? What is this healing? Today we know a lot of people have healing power. Our days you have pranic healing and all sorts of names are given. But the earlier days, it used to be called mesmeric healing. It was an art. It was a power. And the explanation, some what we had seen already in the Sunday before last, where we were talking about the whole idea of magnetism. We are all aware, as we said, there is a physical body and there is an astral body. The astral body is something in which is flowing the life energy or prana. This prana or life energy flows through your astral body, which we know in the Hindu philosophy as Linga Sharira. It is a model body in which the prana flows. But this prana, ultimately, we are giving out and we are not aware. It comes through the palms of your hands, from top of your head, from your eyes, from the soles of your feet, continually, whether you like it or not, the pranic energy is flowing. Only thing is, it is different for different people because that pranic energy is colored by our thoughts, our emotions, our deeds, our desires. If I have only worldly or even the lower desires and lower thoughts and emotions, I am vitiating my prana. And if I have always noble desires to help people and do good, my prana becomes pure. Now that prana which flows through my eyes and my palms, it becomes a pure magnetism. Why do we think that the elders will put their hand on your head and say Ashirvad? They will give you blessings. What has happened? With that palm being resting on your head, all that pure magnetism of the good life and the goodwill that they have for others is passed on to you. It will do some good. It's not as if they might say, may all your desires be satisfied. It will happen under karma only. But all the same, some good thing and goodwill is coming to us when they give Ashirvad. What about healing? It is one step higher. We are told that this kind of a energy is going through us, which we call magnetic fluid, if you want. But you and I can't do healing. Then what is it? And here we are told, it is the power of will. When a person is able to use his willpower, and then if he moves his palms, as they do in the mesmeric healing, and in many kinds of pranic healing also, then that energy is going to the person at the correct place, and then the person gets healed. So, it's a combination of a magnetic fluid combined with the power of will which brings about the cure. So this is how Jesus would make use of his what is called as the magnetic fluid, pranic energy, and that is why HPB says that when a person heals, the relief which is given to the patient is proportionate to the exertion and exhaustion which is felt by the healer. Healer is actually losing his vitality, and by his vitality, thrown out by his willpower, the healing takes place. So there is no miracle about it. There is no fraud in that. It's an actual scientific thing explained on the basis of the occult principles, is how we can put it. What about bringing to life the dead people? This sounds nothing less than a miracle. And we have always heard this in case of Jesus and Apollonius of Tyana especially. They would look at a person and mark the words. What they will say? Oh, this person has died. And they will look and say, she only sleepeth. This person is only sleeping. For us, the person is dead. What is typically death? As far as the surgeons and doctors are concerned, they will say, when the body is cold, pulseless, breathless, and also rigor mortis, stiffening of the body has set in, the doctor pronounces the death of the person. Now, how is it then that Theosophy says that there is something like apparent death? It appears to be dead, but not really dead. What is the additional thing which we are missing out? The additional thing is that there are certain vital organs in the body, such as liver, brain, and heart. And HPP says that so far, these vital organs have not begun to decompose and completely decomposed. Your astral body, the Linga Sharir, which is a model for the physical, can be made to re-enter the physical body by those who know. So there are two things. The great beings at a glance can see that the vital organs have not deteriorated, which a surgeon is not able to. But a great being is. And secondly, he can then force the model body, the astral body, to go back into the physical and the person comes alive. This state, lot of research is done now. The person is in a torpor. The term used is suspended animation. It is called suspended animation, and the doctors are wondering how are their cases, and they are coming across cases without anyone doing anything. There are people coming back to life. HPP has given a whole long number of line of cases where even after 7 days, 10 days, month, 3 months, the dead person, someone who might have died by drowning, so-called, the body is kept and the person comes alive without anyone doing anything, because it was suspended animation. But sometimes it is these beings who bring it about. Now it looks, Jesus could do it, Apollonius could do it, and Buddha. We have all as children heard this story that a woman comes with her baby who has died and tells Buddha, bring this baby alive. And Buddha, being Buddha, knows how to tackle this anxious mother's case. So tells her, go, bring me some mustard seeds from a house where there has no death taken place. And this woman goes all around in the village and every house has lost someone, comes back and says, I can't bring the mustard seed because in every house someone has died. And then Buddha says, so death is inevitable. All that is born must die, as the Gita says. What are we trying to show? By showing this, we are saying that all this healing, bringing alive from the dead, is it happening at whim and fancy of these Jesus, Apollonius, Buddha, when they thought they will do it? No. It is all happening according to the law of karma. So that Jesus himself had to say, the karma is very strong and I will not be able to heal the person. When they are able to bring people alive, there the case is such that the vital organs have not decomposed and that is why they are able to do it. Buddha is able to see that now the time of maturity and death has come. So he says it cannot happen under the law of karma. So let us understand, there is no miracle, there is no breaking of the law of nature, and there is no breaking or interfering with the law of karma either. And so in that sense, this is not a miracle. These are, of course, some of the things. And obviously, we sometimes see there are babas who will hold simple stone, close it, say some mantra and give it to you, and that becomes taviz. We use the word tavich or emulate. They will hold in hand a piece of cloth. They will hold in hand a pin, whatever, something which you will not even give value to, but his pure magnetism is imbued and it will repel bad influences. So let's not laugh and say, oh, what Taoists they are talking about. No. There is a person whose pure magnetism is there, and he is giving and imparting that pure magnetism which can repel bad influences. And therefore you remain protected. Now you go a step further and you find that without anybody doing anything, your faith itself works lots of miracles. Faith. There is no person who doesn't have faith. You have faith in something or the other. Some person, something, some mechanism, some law. We all have faith. Some have really a very deep faith. Mind you, there are faiths and faiths. So we have to distinguish, as Gita does, sattvic faith, rajasic faith and tamasic faith. But all who are having a very deep faith, they work miracles for themselves. A very hilarious but a true incident in life of Sir Humphrey Davy was of a patient. He is paralytic and he is to be operated. Now Humphrey Davy, before starting the operation, puts a thermometer, and those days I think simple people didn't know what is this instrument. We all know now what thermometer does. So he thinks that this is part of the procedure, the treatment. So it is kept for 5 minutes, then taken away, and immediately the patient says, "Doctor, I feel much better," because he thinks it is a treatment. And Humphrey Davy gets it. So he says, okay, and after 2 hours again he puts thermometer, and again after 2 hours, 4 or 5 days he continues to do that, and the person is healed of his paralysis. So this is not HPB, this is not anyone else, but a real thing. Real thing. And what has done it? His faith. His faith in that instrument called thermometer and his faith in the doctor. So, this is what is something which people are talking about today. They call it placebo effect. We've all heard placebo effect. Experiments after experiments are conducted. Patients are divided into two groups. There is one group of patients who are given actual medicine. The other is given only a sugar pill, which looks exactly like that medicine, but it's a sugar pill. And you find even from that group who are given sugar pill, so many are cured because they have a superhuman faith in the medicine and the doctor. As we are also given an example of a lady who would not be cured by the compounder of the doctor, but the doctor returns after 10 days and she becomes better without taking medicine. "I have such confidence in you," is what she's saying. So we have to believe that there is something which faith does, and we are able to see this. Probably we can read it up, what HPB has said. The third quotation is saying, "If there be in the patient alone a faith supreme and unshakable in the power of a healer, of a holy relic, of the touch of a shrine, of the waters of a well, of a pilgrimage to certain place, and a bath in some sacred river, of any given ceremonies, of repetition of charms, or an amulet worn about the neck, in either of these or many more agencies that might be named, then the patient will cure himself by the sole power of his predisposed faith." So we are all aware, we go to Vaishnavi Devi temple, and those who are believers in the Islam will go to the Dargah. There are the tombs of saints, we go there. We also go to the pilgrimage. We also take a dip in Ganga water. Because all of this, we have faith that if I do this, I will be cured. Or mannat. I believe that if I go barefoot to Vaishnavi Devi, and if I am not bearing child, when I come back, I will bear child. There is a superhuman faith in that place, in that Devi. So it's the faith which works miracles. We will not have time to go into, it's a very vast subject with lots and lots of laws which are coming into operation. You have a whole different science to explore besides our physical, chemical, biological, physiological sciences, which are very small as compared to the occult science and what it covers. So the important thing now is about the powers. Those who are able to heal, some at one level, others at a very high level? How and from where do these powers come? And theosophy says only one thing, that each one of us has a seed or a germ of the power which are there in the Mahatmas, in the yogis, in the sages, which have flowered forth. How? They have undergone training and experience. Usually we give the example. If I say or you say that I want to become like Bach or Beethoven, an accomplished musician, or become a Sachin Tendulkar by becoming an accomplished cricketer, can I become? Or is it something super normal, supernatural, and people will laugh? How can it be supernatural? You work hard, you practice, and you can have, if not in this life, you'll at least be able to reach somewhere. And maybe even in this life, if you work hard enough. So we don't consider it improbable. Exactly that we apply to these powers, and we say, the germ and seed of every power, which are psychic powers and spiritual, are there in all of us. But we need to live a life like that. We need to give training to them. And we have to have that sort of experience. And each one of us can do exactly what was done by Jesus, Apollonius, Buddha. All the miracles that, so-called miracles they worked, we can also do. This is the promise. So it's a question of leading that life. Now what happens? As we said, there are psychic powers and spiritual powers. Psychic powers, theosophy differentiates from spiritual powers because psychic powers can be obtained by anyone. There are ways and ways of obtaining. And so, you find many people, especially in India, having these psychic powers. They will be able to tell you about your past, and they say they can look into your aura. They say they are looking in the astral, whatever it is. They will be able to even tell you somewhat about your future sometimes. And as we said, they can look and say what is happening right now in America or Russia or whatnot. They can read your thoughts. And so many such powers are only psychic lower powers. And you don't find them necessarily as being people who are holy. They are not necessarily holy, and yet they can have powers. So many of them are acquired by what is called as Hatha Yoga. Hatha Yoga is torturing of the body. Standing on one leg only for many months, keeping one hand raised in the air for many, many months, piercing the cheeks, but mainly by various kinds of breathing exercises. Very quickly, people acquire psychic powers by breathing exercises. When they are done properly in a certain way, whether you have made yourself morally and spiritually pure or not, you can get these powers. Another way is by all kinds of methods which people try, and they become what theosophy calls as mediums. Who are the mediums? They are excessively passive people. I have been told that you look into a bowl of water for hours together. And then, as we said in the astral light, that canvas, all the pictures of what is happening in the world are impressed, and they will be then reflected in that water, and I will be able to see something which is now happening or is going to happen. I can look into a coffee cup. I can look into a bowl which has got the white of the egg. We have heard about something called divination. This happens, but it happens without the control of this person. The person is absolutely passive and under the control of anyone. He's so receptive that if you tell him to do anything, he'll go and do it, because he has made himself a completely passive person. This state is called mediumship and is not desirable at all. Though as a medium, you can have some kind of psychic powers. We as human beings should always be in control of our power of choice and the willpower. We should not submit it to another person just in order to get these kind of psychic powers. What happens here is that they have the power, but they don't know how they have acquired, and they also do not know when to exercise and when not to exercise. On the other hand, there are spiritual powers. The spiritual powers necessarily come as a result of your progress. We had wonderful reading from the Voice of the Silence. The three halls are spoken of, and they are actually compared with the three stages, the physical, the psychic, and the spiritual. And the three halls are also the three states through which we pass every night: waking state, swapna state, and the dreamless deep or sushupti state. All these three states we are going to cross in our journey. And that is why there is a caution when the reading was done. It is said, beware of the psychic state. You will acquire automatically when you are purified. When a person is somewhat pure, we see today that person, as you enter the house, the person will be able to know with what intention you have gone there. Have you come to borrow money from me? And you are surprised. How this person knows about it? Some amount of purity and you are able to do what is called the mind reading. Nothing great. Some amount of purity and you can easily tell about the past of the person or even something about future. Some amount of purity and some healing also can be done by the person. Some amount of purity and what they say, what they call as vakasiddhi, it also comes to them. So, as the purity increases, purity of thought, words, deeds, and more moral life, more altruistic life, the powers are going to come to you. Spiritual powers. So, we always say, these powers, they are byproduct of your spiritual progress. You don't have to run after them at all. They will be coming to you. All these siddhis, they stand ready to serve a person who is devoted to Krishna. We are putting in our own words, think from Srimad Bhagavatam. If you are devoted to Krishna, these siddhis will stand ready to serve. Like your servants are ready to serve, the siddhis are available to you. Now see the wonderful thing, what Theosophy says is also said by Sri Ramakrishna Paramahansa. And in his inimitable style, he has put it so simply, the whole idea of not to run after powers. So he is talking about these powers and saying, oh, there are Ashta Siddhis. You know, you have Anima, Mahima, Lahima, Garima, Prakamya, Vashitva, Ishitva, all that. They are lower powers. It sounds Ashta Siddhi, but they are still lower powers. We know, we were fascinated as children, that incident which is there, and you have Hanuman sitting with his tail sprawled across the path where people are walking, and Bhima comes there and he says, hey Vanar, monkey, remove your tail. And he says, if you want, you remove it. He knows and he's trying to teach him a lesson. So quite arrogantly, now who would say that he will not be able to remove only his tail? He bends and tries to remove. It's so heavy. He struggles for lot of time. And then finally, Hanuman himself removes. And he understands. I was very proud of my strength. And I had to be brought down. So this is done for me. But what is this? This is Garima. You can make a thing so heavy, it might look like it's only a little piece of glass. Somebody can make it so heavy, it's Garima Siddhi, that I can try to lift and I cannot. So these are all very superficial, not as compared to the spiritual powers, they are as nothing. So we don't get fascinated, nor do we run after them. And Ramakrishna Paramahansa therefore says that Kali Mata used to say that they are like prostitutes. It's like going to a prostitute. He compares it with prostitute. He just wants to say, looks down upon these powers, don't please go after them. And on the other hand, he has given examples. If you develop powers and think it is the end all and be all, you are stagnating in your spiritual path. So, there is one disciple of him who has acquired some great powers like that. And it's said that Shiva himself comes in the guise of ordinary man and says, "I believe, sir, that you have great powers." And he says, "Yes." So there is an elephant there and he says, "Can you kill him? That is to say, with your power." So he takes a pinch of ashes, some mantram, throws on the body of the elephant. Elephant dies. "Oh, wow, so great." And then he says, "I'm sure you can bring him to life again." "Yes, I can." Again takes some ashes, some other mantra, again throws on the body, the elephant comes alive. Now comes the thing. And this person says, "That's great, but tell me something. Have you really become any better than what you were? Have you become any wiser than what you were? Have you reached self-realization?" And then, it was Shiva, so he just disappears from there. And so we are told, this man's eyes are open. Mr. Judge calls it astral intoxication. People with powers, they are drunk. Drunk because they feel they have become spiritual. They have become spiritually advanced, whereas nothing of the sort has happened. It's only one milestone in a spiritual journey. You have come somewhere, you have reached somewhere, but there is a long way to go for your spiritual perfection. Second thing is the example of a person who is very well-meaning. Sitting at the seashore, storm comes and there is a ship going, lots of passengers, and it's a great storm. And he feels for them and he says, "I can stop this storm. These people will not die then." So abruptly, that ship which was going full sail, he says stop with whatever his power. And because being stopped suddenly, the ship capsizes, overturns, killing hundreds of people which he wanted to save. This is the example of motive may be good, but do you know when to use your power? So there are responsibilities which go with the powers. People don't perform miracles just because they have powers. People don't perform miracles also just because they are emotionally moved to help people. So a lot of spiritual discrimination or viveka buddhi is what is required. And therefore we are told that these powers, don't run after them. Many times people have been taken away from the spiritual path, and the wandering of a lifetime, it will cost you heavy. It will take you many, many lifetimes to come back on spiritual path again. So we are not going to be enamored of miracles and powers, but we, as students of theosophy, how you study your science textbook before getting into laboratory and straight away start putting chemicals together and have explosion, we are going to first master the theory. Third object was mentioned. It is directly related to third object of theosophy, which says to undertake the study and investigation of hidden laws in nature and to investigate the latent powers in man. But this is going to be theoretical investigation, not the practical investigation. When you have mastered theory by knowing what is nature and what is man, not as science, the physical science teaches, but as occult science teaches, then probably you will be allowed to exercise the power. This is Raja Yoga path. We mentioned Hatha Yoga. Theosophy is Raja Yoga. And beautiful example the Master of Wisdom has given, that like a child has a music box and the key is turned so that the wheels in the music box are turned and kept. As soon as you remove the key, the wheels move and the music is heard. The master will turn the key and hold with himself for the chela. Only when the chela has acquired the necessary training and purity, he will take the key away and allow the powers to develop in him. So, when it is felt that the chela is spiritually sound, then only the powers will develop. So, Raja Yoga is the path where we should not desire to have quick powers. After long training, long purity, and long number of incarnations, after which the powers will be allowed to develop by the guru in the chela. Our time is up. If there is a ready question, it can be asked. Yeah? This is talking about the historical part of the theosophical movement, and the theosophical society was established. And what HPB did was to actually perform this phenomena. And you know what happens when you have a juggler, how people gather and they would see, some will scoff and say, it is all what we call in the vernacular, hath chalaki, you know, sleight of hand. And some will say, great. And especially if it happens to be some Swami, they will start falling at his feet. Precisely, so that people will come out of both these modes or both these attitudes, she wanted to say, "Arre, this is really a science. Whether it is done by a juggler or it is done by a Swami or it is done by Jesus, it is a science. And there is a whole theory and its application. To open people's eyes and then let them come out, especially the other mode, where people literally worship those who did healing or who could tell about their future and all that, people really worship them, which is not necessary. And that is why she was performing, and for the scientists to investigate. But the scientists, they were stuck with only the physical, material realm. So even today we see how many of the things, yesterday we were just understanding the missing links, and HPB has to say, the missing links will remain missing links unless and until they accept the existence of the astral body within the physical, because man was fully astral, animals were fully astral. What is this Jurassic Park movie we are seeing? What is that? That was millions of years back when actually the animal bodies and human bodies were gigantic. That was a Jurassic age. So there is no laughing. It is not for children's entertainment. Let's go deeper into it and you find. We are going to that aspect because she's saying a lot of things which are a muddle for science will be solved if they will take interest and understand and only accept the existence of the astral body in man and astral in the nature. Lots of answers will come to science. It did not happen. So the question is then, what was it? She tried. Her intention was to bring them to the understanding so that they would take their one more step in the direction of investigations. Today they are still doing gene modification and all that because as we study in the class, it is the ego which brings the karma. And no gene modification is going to give the baby a body which you are planning to give, because the ego brings the karma, which is a very deep subject, right? So something like that she was trying to bring, arouse in the scientists, which they did not. So some scoffed at her, and some, unfortunately, did it bring trouble to her? Somewhat trouble was there, because there were those who were inimical and they felt that, oh, she's talking about mediumship. She is medium only, because she was so humble and she used to say, it is my masters who are doing these things. Though she herself had those powers. So it was taken other way and they said that, okay, so the masters are doing, but she herself is only the instrument or a medium or something. So that was the negative part. But otherwise you can say it did not bring to anything. Her whole idea of awakening the mind of simple people so that they will not start worshipping the Babas and of the enlightened people to make more investigation did not. But I'm sure there must have been lots of other people who would have undertaken the study. So it was not completely. You can see in books like Vernal Blooms, in books like Isis Unveiled, people have taken trouble to understand. And therefore, they are better off today. People, students like us, where were we before we came to theosophy, and where are we now? We are able to explain things to people, at least in our friend circle, those who come to us. So her purpose is served, that let this knowledge go to as many people as possible, so that there is no andhashraddha, superstition, and no deriding of this and saying that such things don't exist. So this is what the student can say. But what she wanted at that time, with that two groups, did not really come through exactly as she had decided. But this knowledge should be spread as much as possible, because we need to have a complete picture of man and nature. Only then we will have answers to so many things which are still puzzled to humanity. Our time is up. Thank you.